Hey folks, welcome to the first episode of Back Issues, the comic podcast run by guys so old we find Aunt May attractive.
Oh yeah.
With comics, there's going to be one quick thing. Spoilers are going to be abound. Don't be surprised if you don't want to have stuff spoiled. This is probably not somewhere you should be. For our first episode, I got a small group of people. First off, we have my co-host, Daryl.
Yo, what's up? I'm Daryl, and I'm co-hosting.
Then we've got Wayne.
Hello.
And lastly, we have Jamie.
Hey.
All right. First episode, guys. So our subject this week is going to be something very classic. A storyline that I know at least a couple of us hold near and dear to our hearts. Back from 1991, which I was a whopping 7 years old, we're going to discuss the Infinity Gauntlet.
7 years old, dun, man. Dun, dun. Shove that.
Yeah, you were what, 13?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, see, 91?
Yeah, you'd have been 13 also.
Yeah. Wait, see. 79 to 89, 10, 12, actually.
I'd have been 16.
Well, yep. Keep in mind, this ended in December, so you would have been 13 by the end of it.
Probably.
And, of course, I didn't catch it when it initially ran, so...
Surprisingly, because of my father, I did.
Right.
He's a huge Adam Warlock fan and a huge Thanos fan, just as I am.
Oh, yeah.
I actually read it about 3 years after it came out.
I had a similar thing with Jamie did. I honestly, this is gonna sound weird, I read Infinity War first,
right?
So I read the sequel and I was like, oh, this is interesting, and I went back and bought the back issues for Gauntlet. So
yeah, see I was in foster home at the time, and one of the kids there, he had a big old stack of comic books, like a big old box of them, and he had the entire run of Infinity Gauntlet in that thing. And one day he's just like, yeah, you want these, you know? So I got my first opportunity to read them about 3 years after the fact as well. So, and that's, in fact, this is the storyline that actually, like, got me into comics full bore. So
well, on that note, let's give a quick synopsis here. First off, it starts with Thanos' quest, which is Thanos' quest, to get all six Infinity Stones and complete what he called the Infinity Gauntlet. Basically, an item that would have given him pretty much complete and utter power. I'm talking on the scale that he could rewrite all of reality on a whim.
Confusingly enough, referred to as soul gems when they were first introduced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, granted, when they were first introduced, they were also one color.
Right.
They were all green.
And then they became the multicolored MacGuffin that we all know and love.
Ah, yes.
Now, this all starts when Thanos, who is in love with the personification of death, who represents as literally a skeleton in a hooded robe with titties.
And somehow hot.
At least to him and Deadpool.
Yeah.
Thanos decides...
He does take a human form at times.
At times. Yeah. Thanos decides, you know, I'm in love with this woman, but she doesn't seem to recognize me.
Did she resurrect him first, though?
Mm-hmm.
Like, wasn't that the thing? She resurrected him, and then he kind of got a boner for her, and...
But,
continue.
She would never recognize him. So he goes, you know what? I'm going to get her attention. I'm going to wipe out half of all life in the universe. And the quickest way to do it is these gems. Now, there are six of them, as I said. Pretty much giving you complete control over time, space, manipulation of sentient souls, reality, power, and the mind. Literally all the aspects that went together encompass the totality of existence. Holding all these gems gives you the power beyond that of a god.
Oh yeah.
It does state in the beginning that these are basically the six shards of the Abiri who basically created the universe.
Yeah. So Thanos goes on a quest to get all of these. And runs afoul of, you know, various big characters in Marvel. And I'm talking cosmic big.
Cosmic right. entities.
Yeah, not even deities. Things beyond deities.
Mm-hmm.
Such as the Collector.
The In-Betweener.
Collector,
right.
In-Betweener.
Even the big boy Galactus himself.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which at the time, when you think about this, that's a big deal. I mean, before that, it was seen as Galactus is an unstoppable force of nature. And then you've got some dude who can, you know, it's like, hey, I can put these gems on the glove and, you know, boost that out of the way. It's like, oh. So now,
Thanos kills his way and tricks his way and outsmarts his way to getting all of these gems, slaps them in a gauntlet and says, it's now time.
And then takes an entire issue to get around to actually doing what he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
Which was a snap of his fingers.
Yep. That was so badass, man.
Yeah. It's like you said, he takes an entire issue to get what he's going to do, and it's just literally...
Yep.
You know?
over in a snap.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the irony of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
He does all this to impress Death. When Death sees him with the gauntlet, she still won't even talk to him. She'll still only talk through an intermediary and says, you know, good job. You know, cool fucking thing, bro.
Yeah.
And Thanos says, you know, address me myself.
Yeah, either directly or not at all.
Yeah, either directly or not at all. And the minion tells Thanos that with the gauntlet, he is not Death's equal, he is Death's superior. And it would not be fitting for Death to address him directly. Which... So, pisses Thanos,
He outsmarted himself, essentially.
That's a recurring theme for Thanos, though. Well, hubris and outsmarting himself.
Well, and Thanos has got the world's most... Huh?
Yeah, he is a self-defeating, and he will sabotage himself at all times.
Exactly. He always leaves a way to defeat him subconsciously, but he's got the world's most wicked fucking inferiority complex in that sense, like... You know, he wants to wield this ultimate power, like, for example, the Infinity Gauntlet, but doesn't feel ultimately that he's worthy of it, so he always leaves some...
Like when he got the Wellspring of Power.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a running theme, like, ever since Thanos was first introduced back
in the 70s.
Yep, it was always, you know, he gave his opponents a way to beat him, you know?
Which was always made his rivalry with Captain Marvel so good to me. Because Marvel would always just be like, I can see where he's screwing up.
Right.
But I don't want to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Which like, is... actually, dare I say, he had sympathy.
Yeah.
He had sympathy?
They both had enough sympathy for each other that when Captain Marvel was setting up to die, the last person to come talk to him personally was Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you guys, but if my worst enemy was dying of cancer, I don't think I'd have it in me to come up to him and say, you know, you were a worthy opponent.
Right.
I would.
That, well, you know, it's kind of like the emotional thing. It's like, you know, it's your worst enemy. But it's one of those things, and I think Thanos kind of sees that. It's like, it's a shame I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like
you know, there's an interesting parallel to draw here, because if you remember Emperor Joker, basically he just spends all his time killing Batman over and over again, and basically pointed out to him that he can't finish him off for good, because basically he pretty much defines himself by his hatred for Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a very similar situation there.
Yes.
Now all this is the Thanos quest, which leads into our actual subject, the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Which is honestly probably the six best issues of Marvel ever.
Yeah. Most certainly.
Drawn by
George Perez and Ron Lim.
And Ron Lim actually does an excellent job picking up in George Perez's footsteps, I think.
And written by honestly the best Marvel cosmic writer ever.
Yep.
Jim Starlin.
Yep. The guy's so prolific that, you know, when Marvel adapted kind of the character in at the end of the Avengers and shit, I mean, they gave Jim Starlin a credit, you know, because I mean that kind of spacescape was kind of his thing. And
yeah,
so yeah. And it's issue one is kind of a setup, you know, to
now,
everything.
I don't want to take this quite issue by issue yet, Daryl. Right. I want to give the quick overcap of this.
Okay. Well,
Thanos has literally now become so powerful that with a literal snap of his fingers, he erases half of the sentient life in the entire Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. And we're not just talking little butt nuts and humans and people who don't matter. We're talking members of the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, the Avengers.
The Fantastic Four gets wiped out.
Yep. He wipes out Daredevil.
They see people just disappear in front of them.
And it really is kind of interesting who he picks to wipe out, because he picks out a lot of more powerful entities in the Marvel Universe.
Well, and I think that's kind of his inferiority complex coming to bite him back. Because he talks a good game when it comes to these heroes. You know, but I think he subconsciously left enough people who were kind of, you know, it takes half the issue for him to snap.
Surfer.
You're right.
So there are plenty of powerful people left over.
Right.
Well, there's the thing. The reason he didn't wipe out Silver Surfer, if you remember, is Silver Surfer and Adam Warlock were outside the universe.
Oh, that's true. You're
talking to Galactus, the Living Tribunal, et cetera, et cetera, pleading the case for them to directly intervene and stop Thanos. They say no. Mm-hmm. So Warlock and Surfer go to Earth and get everybody together.
Yeah.
And for a literal last stand, last charge of the Light Brigade on Thanos. And it doesn't really work.
Nope.
Thanos keeps becoming intended to work. It was intended to show that these cosmic beings that Thanos is a threat.
The point was to get Thanos distracted so that still
so that the surfer could take
the glove, which actually ends up not working.
Nope.
Right.
But the other thing that it causes is the cosmic beings become aware of him.
But because, like, for one thing, like Thanos, which was really interesting about that situation, when, you know, the heroes went to go fight him, he fought them on their own level.
Right.
He didn't have to. He depowered himself. He literally didn't have to.
Yes, but on the advice of Mephisto, keep that in mind.
But, yes. You know,
before all this goes down, though, Thanos spends a lot of time flaunting his power in the most ridiculous of ways. Like, he brings his brother Eros in and enslaves Nebula. Him, and
he erases his mouth,
right, and turns Nebula into a creature that's neither really alive nor dead. She's like the perfect embodiment of what he believes death is gonna want, you know. And of course, death isn't impressed. And like you said,
death spends this whole mini series sitting in the background, more or less with her arms crossed, kind of thing.
Just
like watching him, like she's watching a child with Legos.
And it really does, and to that point, the further the bite goes on, the more petulant and immature Thanos' attacks get on the heroes.
However, at one point,
he literally turns Nova into building blocks.
Exactly. On that note, I want to discuss that, Jamie. The way Thanos kills some of the Marvel characters is the perfect mix of things like irony, hubris, and just a very sick sense of humor.
Yeah, like when he puts a Cyclops head in a
box,
fishbowl.
Yeah,
and so he can't breathe, and he can't stop. Eye laser.
Yeah, he can't hit the lever for his eye laser.
Turns Thor into glass.
Turns Wolverine's adamantium skeleton into rubber.
Rubber, yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, just basically toys with these guys.
But can we talk about the most badass part of that confrontation?
Cap.
Yes.
Yeah.
Walks so up to a god.
Yeah.
And I've got the quote right here in front of me. as long as one man stands against you, Thanos, you'll never be able to claim victory.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely and, something Cap would say.
Hey, did and then when that was Iron Man.
And then Thanos' response was, noble sentiments from one who is about to die. And Cap says, I live by those sentiments.
Nice.
And you'll die by them. Yeah. Literally, and you will die by them, as yeah. I hate to say.
Another point worth mentioning, because I think we kind of glanced over it, is like before this all starts, there's this one point where Thanos gets so sick of being rebuffed by death. That he literally shouts, and his shout carries over the entire universe, yep. destroying planets.
Yep.
Yep.
He essentially throws a tantrum.
He basically throws a tantrum. It causes the Kree and the Skrulls to go to war with each other because they each think the other
again.
Did.
Again.
Yep.
It actually knocks Earth off of its orbit, which is why they go, because this is basically the only chance they have. That's why like you get all these Marvel. Even Doctor Doom has to go.
I mean, it was a literal. Yeah. The stakes were at the utmost.
Yeah, there's like nothing left because I think they had like 24 hours before the entire planet froze over.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking something big enough to make Doctor Doom walk up to the Avengers.
Doctor Strange and
And I'm looking at like this panel that I love when Thanos shatters on Cap's shield, the smirk.
Yes. Right?
That smirk he has on his face when he does it. It's just
that
like,
look of, I bet you didn't expect that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Thanos
just looks around at all his carnage and says, makes it all go away.
But yes, back on the farm, Thanos actually goes and imprisons these cosmic entities. He imprisons two Celestials. And then proceeds to beat the universe. The literal physical embodiment of the universe.
Eternity?
Yeah. Thanos fought him and beat him.
At the time, and once, you know, like I was talking about with Galactus, like at the time they thought that, you know, there was thought that nothing surpassed eternity.
Now here's where, again, the themes of irony and hubris come into play. Thanos leaves Eternity's body and becomes the new embodiment of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
This leaves his, you know, still rather omnipotent body just kind of lights out, no one's home.
Right.
So his bitch of a granddaughter steals the gauntlet.
Nebula.
Yep.
Yeah. Who you guys may remember from Guardians of the Galaxy, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, the blue chick.
The blue, the bald blue chick, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Played by Karen Gillan, I think it was.
Yep.
Yeah, played by Karen Gillan. Yep.
Karen Gillan, I think her name. Yeah. Something like that, but she did an excellent job.
So, Nebula puts the freaking gauntlet on and undoes everything Thanos did. You know, brings back everybody, reverses the damage, like Earth goes back into its proper alignment. The Kree and the Skrull stop fighting. They're not the Kree Skrulls. Yeah, was it Skrulls or Shi'ar?
No, it was the Kree and the Skrulls.
Yeah,
she basically set time back 24 hours.
Yeah. Except all of the assembled heroes are now back alive and still there in front of Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's another big old brawl, you know.
Yeah.
And Adam Warlock shows up.
Yeah.
And takes the gauntlet. And takes it to the cosmic deities and says, now what are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
There was one point,
of course, Mephisto backstabs him, which I think everyone expected would have happened time. But there's what really underscores what Death really thinks of Thanos is that she turns on him and starts attacking him too.
Yep.
You know, when the gods come in and as that little tete-a-tete goes on.
But
Warlock takes the gauntlet to these the beings and says, what are you going to do? Living Tribunal. Yeah. A being that exists only to judge.
Uh-huh.
And not just judge one universe, but judge the entirety of the multiversal existence says, I have a plan, and makes it so the gems still function on their own, but when used with each other in, like, the gauntlet, they're rendered inert.
Mm-hmm.
Meantime, Thanos, at the conclusion of the fight, was thought to have blown himself up. I think it was. But Warlock winds up finding him working at a farm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bending to his farm.
And he just leaves him there and says, you know, he's no longer a threat.
Can I tell you my favorite exchange, though?
Yeah, really quick? By all means.
Okay, so there's a panel when Adam Warlock confronts Thanos, and he says, look back under your life, Thanos the Titan, and what do you see? Man always seeking ultimate power and losing it as soon as he attains it. Why? Because deep in his soul, he knows he is not worthy of it. Three times you've triumphed over incredible odds to gain the ends you desire, and three times you have subconsciously supplied the means to your own defeat. You let Nebula wrest the Infinity Gems from you just as you allowed Captain Marvel to shatter the Cosmic Cube. And Thanos realizes, you know, and that it was a mistake, and that he says it was a mistake, and even God's error. And then he realizes and aids them, you know, basically to get the gauntlet back from Nebula. And stuff.
And what's really interesting in that perspective, because we remember throughout, he's going through this entire soliloquy throughout Thanos' quest, basically stating how incredibly powerful and awesome he is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Now, I think we can all agree, Thanos, you know, bare bones Thanos is no slouch.
Oh, no.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, never has been. He conquered the universe. I mean,
well, I'm talking about bare bones,
no
gauntlet, no cube.
Nope. No gauntlets, no cubes. Like, I am just, you know, Thanos of Titan. He's no slouch.
No. You got to have the brawn. You got to have the brains to pull shit off.
Right. I mean, you know, solo Thanos can stand against the Avengers. So
absolutely.
Completely assembled Avengers.
Right. Exactly. So.
But I just love that exchange because this is Thanos finally realizing that maybe he's not as infallible as he thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that.
And that kind of, I mean, if you know, kind of led into the whole, like, Thanos kind of became almost an anti-hero.
Yeah, he really was an anti-hero.
Yeah, because, you know, and I like to say, you know, won't get it too much this time, but if you go through even Infinity War and Infinity Crusade, he was instrumental in keeping things from going super haywire.
Yeah.
You know,
I will tell you, outside of the sphere of this miniseries or whatever, I wasn't really familiar with Thanos afterwards, you know, like I did read there was a miniseries like a year or two back that kind of introduced Thanos, you know, as a child and kind of tracked his, you know, trajectory to the, you know, to becoming the man he, you know, eventually became. And that was an excellent read, but beyond that, I wasn't really too familiar with him outside of this storyline.
Right.
But he always intrigued the shit out of me. I just, for some reason or another, just never really followed him outside of this storyline. So this is all new to me.
Now, there's something I want to bring up here.
Sure.
About the gauntlet itself.
Mm-hmm.
Any of you familiar with Lord Acton's dictum?
No. Explain it for the...
power tends to corrupt. Absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely.
Right, right.
Yeah. Oh, yes, of course.
Then. Yeah.
I didn't know it had an actual name. But...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the gauntlet itself functions entirely as the dictum itself.
It is the absolute power.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look how, through the miniseries, how many people were tempted by the gauntlet.
Right.
Mephisto, Thanos himself, Nebula, Adam Warlock.
Yeah, even
Doctor Doom, obviously.
Doctor Doom.
Of course, that's a given.
Doctor Doom sees anything shiny and he gets a boner.
Right.
He's like, can this help me destroy Richards?
Yeah. It's like that dime could actually help me kill Reed Richards.
Yeah.
Richards
and
then
he would
dead.
Give it
that's
some weird name
part.
Like the Cosmic,
you know,
Dime.
I'll be honest with you. That's probably why, you know, if we talk about other characters' motivations, besides the fact he wants power too, that's probably why Doom went after Thanos.
Because Thanos killed Richards.
Yeah, he stole that from him. That's something only
Doom
wants
ultimately,
to do.
Ultimately, that would have been the reason.
But see, let's talk about Thanos' motivation for a moment. What do you think about that? Just this undying obsession with somebody leading him to take it, you know, so far.
You know, I will say it. Love is one fucking hell of a motivator.
Right. Yep.
You will do things you did not think you were capable of, both good and bad, for love.
Yeah.
It like makes a man a monster and can make a monster mad.
Like, you'll make a Rule 63 clone of yourself and fawn in front of the woman you love?
No.
No, he did that.
Well, yeah.
He actually did that.
He did. He did.
I thought you meant, would I do that? No.
Oh, no.
No, you wouldn't, but Thanos did.
And yeah. Then you made a Spider-Man. She beat Spider-Man's head in with a fucking brick.
So, essentially, what you're saying is, he went the extreme of the Meatloaf song.
Yeah.
Yeah. He
I'd do anything for love, but he actually did do that.
Yes,
he did. Yeah, he did do that.
Well, dude,
he was trying to make Death jealous. And...
Wrap your head around this. He makes a Rule 63 clone of himself so fucking deranged in love with him. That while Thanos is there fighting off the assembled Marvel Universe, the clone is hanging off of his leg like a fucking Frank Frazetta painting on a back of somebody's van.
Yeah, man.
Very true.
Well, she does really join in the festivities. Beats Spider-Man's head in. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, man.
That poor girl only lived the whole 2 hours.
Right.
I mean, seriously.
She had to Frazetta it up. You know?
Yeah, I wonder, you know, and that's another thing, you know, because I was discussing like time and stuff like that. I wonder how long, what was the, I know about, you know, the quest and everything like that, but what were, in the actual events that happened in the Infinity Gauntlet, how long were they? Like, was this a, you know, week?
Oh,
month,
about a day.
Yeah,
about
a day. An entire day. That's
kind of
hilarious.
Established in that.
You know, that's hilarious. It's like, you know, and on this day, the universe was destroyed, but it's okay.
Actually,
you got better.
Less than a day. Because in one day Earth would have been iced over, and they stopped before that happened.
Right. That's hilarious.
So really, this is only a matter of hours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. The actual fight was only a matter of hours, but it's put out to be about a day's time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that shockwave doesn't hit
for a while.
So quite a bit into the story.
Now, would you say this storyline kind of cemented Thanos as one of the big badasses of the Marvel Universe?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, because before that, he was more seen as just like a Captain Marvel villain.
Well, right. Hold up a second, Wayne.
You know, he had other, you know, arch enemies and stuff.
Wayne, hold up a sec.
Yeah.
I'm going to go way back there. I think, Jamie, you may be the only one of us old enough to remember this.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, in Adam Warlock's solo series, there was a storyline involving the Magus and Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
And the Magus is really fucking powerful to begin with on his own.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's like, isn't he like Adam Warlock's kind of
dark evil half?
Yeah.
Right.
Literal.
Yeah.
And Thanos beats the living crap out of him with Warlock's help.
Mm-hmm.
I think that storyline did more to cement him as a badass. I think Infinity Gauntlet more brought out how driven he is. And it really brought his hubris to the forefront.
But it is that drive and that hubris that makes him a galactic level or a universal level threat.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people? I really think you think about how many individuals are more powerful than him? Like possibly only Abraxas is stronger.
And Abraxas got killed.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes no sense. Abraxas shouldn't have been able to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
But. No, other than the cosmic beings like Eternity, Lord Chaos and Order, Celestial.
Kronos.
Like, I could see a Celestial being able to slap the living hell out of Thanos.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, as we say, regular Thanos, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's baseline, the thing, is that he was able to get the means where he could basically, you know, kick beat the shit out of gods.
Yep.
You know, that's the thing, is, you know, it's not just him as himself on the base level. It's how far he's willing to go to achieve his goals.
And then screw it all up.
Now, actually, Wayne,
mm-hmm.
we've got about half the show left.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do war.
Okay.
Now, this is one I have not read, so I'm excited.
Yeah,
Wayne and I have.
Okay. Yeah.
Not as
okay.
familiar with this one.
Here is the, you know, to give the basic premise, if you don't mind, Jason.
Go for it.
The basic premise of War, okay? The lead up to it was basically Adam Warlock and the Infinity Watch. After Infinity Gauntlet, there was a meeting of the cosmic beings, and the tribunal was there to judge Warlock if he was, you know, about with the gauntlet, right? Eternity, Jason probably remember this, made the case that he should be in possession of the gems.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is Eternity, and it would make sense. Warlock was against this idea. He said, because his basic premise was nobody should have this ultimate power.
Mm-hmm.
And what was really great about this, because he was like, you know, Warlock asserted himself because he got a little angry, right? And he like basically killed, in one blow, killed the entirety of the cosmic beings. But then the tribunal snapped his fingers and put it all back. And he said, there's quite enough of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was like, Warlock says, do you think you're, you know, to paraphrase it, are you a bad enough dude to take these gems away from me? And the tribunal said, we're about to find out.
Yep.
And the edict from the tribunal was, you may possess the gems, but not as a single thing. And that's when he formed the Infinity Watch.
These basically Pip the Troll.
Pip the Troll.
Gamora.
Drax the Destroyer.
Drax the Destroyer, when he was stupid at the time.
Yeah.
Fuck. Who else?
Let me see if I can get a... I'll get you a list.
Point
real
out
quick.
That Drax was also in the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, but Drax was like during this period, Drax was dumb as a stump. Talking like below.
Warlock was in.
Like about where he was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's I believe that's it. Other than Maxim.
Yeah.
Except for the fact the Infinity Watch had a hidden member.
Yep.
That actually turned out to be Thanos himself.
Yep, he held the reality gem.
And was
Which
working
is the most useless on its own. If memory serves.
Mm-hmm. But it was funny, after all that, he trusted Thanos to hold one of the gems anyway.
And didn't trust the others enough to tell him that.
Moondragon.
Oh, yeah, Moondragon.
Yep, because she had the mind gem.
Yep.
Because she was already a telepath.
Well, you can think about it, that choice makes sense in context, because Thanos actually knows what those gems are capable of.
Right. So, getting to Infinity War, what happened was, we talked about during the period where, you know, Warlock had the, you know, gauntlet, and we talked about the, you know, the Magus. What he did to, as he said, to make sure he didn't like give in to his base desires, he separated his good from his evil, and his evil from
himself.
And
got rid of both of them.
Got rid of both of them.
And remained as a being of pure logic.
Right. So he became a Vulcan. He became a Vulcan Data. So that's what happened. and then you know he formed the Infinity Watch.
When he does
go ahead.
When he separates out, the Magus comes back to life.
Yep, the Magus manifested himself as a being. Exactly. So basically, you've got Adam Warlock's evilest instincts as existing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, what's his idea? What am I going to do? I'm going to get the Infinity Gauntlet. Oh, that was another thing during the trial, you know, about what to do with the gems.
Yeah.
The one caveat that the tribunal put on it is like the only being that can give, you know, say that the gems could be used again as one, you know, one cohesive thing was Eternity.
Yep.
Right.
So Eternity was the only one who could make the call that the gems could be used as one again.
And did he?
Well, we're getting to that.
Yeah.
So shit's going down, fam, at this point.
All right.
Things are so whack because, like, Magus is just wrecking shit. And, of course, this is all... You know, it's all a, you know, gigantic ruse to make them do something, you know, to make Warlock do what he didn't want to do.
Right.
And what he did, and in a way to do it, he made somehow, I forgot exactly how, but
five cosmic cubes.
Five cosmic cubes, right.
Yeah.
and he made Eternity Canatonic.
Five cosmic cubes, three French hens, two.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
So he essentially made Eternity a catatonic being. You know, he was Eternity, but was nothing. You know, he had nothing going for him. And this was discovered by, I believe, Jason, you remember me? It was discovered by Galactus and Gamora.
Yep.
I'll put it this way. Before they could get the, you know, before they could decide on to do the Infinity Gems, Galactus wanted to use the Nullifier.
Ooh.
That's how dire he thought it was.
And the Nullifier being what?
The Ultimate Nullifier. The Ultimate Nullifier is
the
basically...
The one that Reed Richards made? Or
no, no. Galactus, that's right. The thing. That's Galactus made the Ultimate Nullifier.
That's right, that's right.
They it just
taken by the Watto.
It can basically destroy anything it touches.
Yeah.
Yep. It basically is like...
Utterly annihilate.
Just destroy it, right? Wasn't it like erase it from existence?
Utterly
basically?
Annihilate.
Yeah, erase from existence and, if used right, could destroy the entire universe.
Yep.
Oh, fuck.
It's one of those, if left on... You're fucked.
Right.
Yeah.
Worse than leaving the stove on when you leave the house.
Yeah. Essentially, I'll put it this way: when Quasar tried to use it, because Quasar was the one to given the task to go activate the Nullifier,
right.
He accidentally erased himself from existence.
Oh, yep.
Ooh.
Because
not
he went
right that guy.
Because he said like he literally said like, okay, it's been long enough. I need to turn it off now. And when he tried to turn it off, his arms erased.
Oh. Wow.
And it basically took the you know, once they got the gems reactivated, it took the gems to, you know, bring him back. But, yeah. So what happened was that, you know, the whole thing was so he, you know, so Magus could get the gems to react, you know, reactivate it so he could use them, right?
Right.
Well, they finally, Galactus and Gamora got...
Oh, you forgot what happened.
Okay, yeah.
When he incapacitated Eternity... It created an interdimensional rift.
Right.
And these doppelgangers of Earth's heroes came pouring
That's
out.
That's right. I
this
forgot
is
about
beginning
that.
To sound way more familiar the more you guys describe
yeah.
it.
And yeah. they were the each of these doppelgangers would try to find their counterpart and devour them.
And when they devoured them, they would become them.
Oof.
They could like take on the you know, so basically they could infiltrate.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A few of the, you know, better, like, you know, of course, Wolverine killed his doppelganger. That was Wolverine, you know?
Right.
But the thing was, after a while, more doppelgangers would appear.
Yeah.
So you never really were without an opponent.
The one who took him, who didn't really defeat his doppelganger, was Spider-Man.
Huh.
And his doppelganger came back at later times. Yep. Maximum Carnage, for example.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
The six-armed spider demon looking thing.
Oh, that was the doppelganger.
Yep, that would be the one.
Yeah, that was the doppelganger.
That explains why they called him the doppelganger.
Exactly. Yep. So yeah.
Well, hey, that explains that mystery.
I forgot
that
who
I
did get infected. Who did
Because
I remember one clear scene where it was like, you know, the guy opens his hand and it becomes tentacles.
Yeah, there was a bunch. Hold on a sec.
Was it Thing? I know for a fact that Sue Richards, you know, Invisible Woman, she was fighting her doppelganger, and she did something like nobody expected. She actually absorbed her doppelganger.
Oh.
Reed Richards gets replaced.
That's it. Yeah, Reed Richards.
Iron Man gets replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like here and there in all the tie-in issues, you
Find
know,
out
ran-
other ones
random.
Replaced.
People A got replaced.
Mm-hmm. I will say there was this one scene. There was I think it was in issue two. In issue two of Infinity War. They were having a meeting at Four Freedom Plaza. You know, planning what to do. But at this point, you know, Reed and Iron Man and they had already been replaced, right? So it was eventually basically they were making this plan, and the whole time like they were trying to sabotage it.
They were gonna blow it up with a gamma bomb.
Right. That was the best. Did you remember the last panel on that? That was the best panel ever because basically everybody didn't know who's who, so they all started just fighting each other like superheroes are wanting to do.
Yeah.
And the funniest thing is, it's like this thing appears, and then Sue screams, "It's a gamma bomb!" And the Hulk is like holding two people in his hands, and he's got this look on his dumbfounded face, like, "Huh?"
Yeah.
But Thor looks like he's screaming like a girl. Am I right? I'm wrong, Jason?
No, you're not wrong.
Because Thor's like, I mean, he's just like, ah!
He just looks like somebody kicked him in the balls.
Right, exactly. He's literally looking like, oh, not in a gamma bomb.
It's like the one character who's going to be least affected by this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then again, this was it Masterson?
Oh, as yeah.
Thor. So he probably, okay. So, you know, oh, yeah. Even though he had the power of Thor, he still had the mind of a human. So it was like, oh.
Yeah. So that oh, that he did have a kid. Masterson.
Well, he was in Thor mode, so he probably wouldn't have, but yeah. Still.
No, well, it wouldn't have affected him at all.
It does explain why he'd freak out about it, though.
He did have a kid.
Yes, this is true. This is true. Yes, he had a kid. So if it was anywhere in the vicinity of that, it would have been very bad for his child. Yeah. I get what you're saying. But no, yeah. So yeah, all that's going on. You know, you got doppelgangers fighting heroes. I'm trying to remember, Jason, was that the one where like no, that was Crusade, so we'll get into that. But
probably like another episode. We'll do Crusade and Abyss.
Yeah. But
that'll give me an opportunity to actually read them.
Yeah.
It was funny because like this and this Hulk, by the way, when I mentioned the Hulk, this was Smart Hulk at the time. This was, you know, the combined Banner.
Yeah, right. Basically Hulk body, Banner brain.
Yeah. Here's what happens next, Wayne. I remember now. So they're fighting off the doppelgangers and crap, and the people that, the guys with Galactus that had found Eternity Unconscious stumble across the Infinity Watch.
Yeah.
Who are trying to, you know, come to them to help, and they wind up getting into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Galactus shows up.
Yeah, and that kind of puts a halt to everything.
Yeah.
Like, uh-oh. Daddy's home. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But the heroes decide to send a team into space to meet up and take on the Magus.
Yeah.
And another team decides to stay on Earth to take care of the doppelganger situation.
And by this time, like, Magus had, like, what he thought were the entirety of the gauntlet.
Right.
So, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. It was not Galactus and them that stumbled across the Infinity Watch. It was the heroes that left Earth.
Right.
And they run into the Infinity Watch, and Thanos is with them.
Yeah, and they freak out.
Yeah, they freak out and attack.
Yeah.
Then Galactus shows up, and everybody calms the fuck down and sobers up.
Yeah. Yeah, now, because...
Now, when you say he thought he had the Infinity Gauntlet,
that's going to be the interesting. Okay, yeah, so exactly. After this is going on, they wake Eternity up with they're telling Eternity, you know, say the words, right?
Right.
And he finally says, "Let the gems work as one." Right. And the last panel, I think that was issue 5, where it shows, and it just shows Magus like with the gauntlet is glowing, you know, and he's basically saying, "I won." Right. Then it goes to the next issue, and the whole time, like, he's beating the shit out of some people, right?
Yeah.
And then Warlock shows up, and he says, like, don't you find this odd that you, don't you find this odd that this isn't making sense in your reality? And he's like, reality? I mean, he literally says, reality? He had a fake reality gem.
And guess who had the original?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, even though he had the powers of the other 6 gems, without reality, it doesn't come together.
Right.
So, even though he had, but it made it very easy. And the best part was, you remember this, Jason, when, he was doing all that and Warlock took a hold of the glove behind him?
Yeah.
And he said, did you not think that my gems would not remember the touch of their master? Or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And so he wrested control of the remaining gems, but... Basically, it was a nice little feint is why they stopped Magus. Because, honestly, Magus with the entire gems with no inhibitions
would have done
what Thanos couldn't do.
And would have made it stick.
But
yeah.
What was fun in this was Thanos sends Quasar to destroy the Magus.
Right.
Yeah.
With the ultimate nullifier, which leads to that storyline that Wayne was talking about earlier.
Where, yeah, because that was in a Quasar offshoot.
Yep.
Where he accidentally nullified himself.
But what's even funnier is Magus had some villains working with him, including Doom and Kang.
Yep.
Doom and Kang are sitting there plotting against each other and against Magus. Mm-hmm. Like, they'd plot against Magus together, but they neither knew that the other was plotting against them. But Doom suspected it.
Yeah.
And, fucking, turns out they stole the cosmic cubes.
That's right. Yep.
From Magus.
Mm-hmm.
And then Doom beats the living crap out of him and says, you know, give me the gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
Just as, you know, Eternity says the words.
Yeah, and that kind of turned the tide back towards.
Yeah, so Magus. The Magus yeah. immediately becomes omnipotent.
Well, he thought he was omnipotent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because, then it turns out that.
Yeah.
That Thanos.
Thanos
had
never
the reality gem.
Yeah, basically because the Magus thought that somebody, you know, he. If I remember correctly, he didn't know that Thanos had the reality gem because Warlock had already separated himself from him, and so they didn't have that connection, so he didn't know the location of the reality gem. He just assumed that Warlock had it, and they gave him a fake one.
Right.
You know, so.
Which was the deciding factor in their win, right?
Right, exactly, because, like I said, Magus, has no inhibition, is pure evil, you know, wouldn't have hesitated, like Thanos did. He wouldn't have, like, been, like, delusions of granted. He just done what he wanted to do, you know?
Yeah, we've got about 10 minutes left. We should. They're a little over 10 minutes, but
yeah,
we should finish this out. So the heroes, like, try to go after Magus, right? Bunch of them get absorbed by their doppelgangers. Thanos does the funniest damn thing, though. Instead of being absorbed by his doppelganger, Thanos turns around and absorbs the doppelganger.
Yeah.
And so then immediately starts beating the crap out of the Magus.
Yeah. So he basically got twice as powerful because he absorbed the doppelganger.
Well, he didn't really manage to beat the crap out of Magus because he lost the fight, but he did put up a good show.
Yeah. Kind of like what I said, what happened with Sue Storm. She absorbed her doppelganger. Yeah. And that, because if you remember correctly, Jason, it was after that she started becoming, I call it like the invisible slut.
Coming up.
Yeah.
Malice.
Yeah.
I remember this.
Yeah, you know, she started, like, you know, dressing all scantily and stuff like that. And even Reed Richards is like, what's going on here?
So, yeah, Warlock shows up and, you know, that, Reed, the confrontation, you know, and he's like, oh, it's a fake reality gem.
Yeah.
And just takes control. And Warlock puts Magus in the world inside the soul gem.
Yep.
Which makes him completely immaterial and invisible to anything in there. So they go into, you know, cleanup mode and everything. People return to normal, etc., etc. And the Living Tribunal takes the gauntlet away again. Mm-hmm. And says this time they can never be used as an object again.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, this time it's like, you know what, this is just too much freaking.
And in a very annoying dangling thread, the cosmic cubes were never recovered until. Well,
the next Infinity series, which we'll get to at another time. So,
and there was something in the original in the Infinity Gauntlet that was glanced over because when Nebula got hold of the gauntlet, I think it was at I think it was Eros or was using Eros or Warlock who was saying that, you know, or possibly Thanos, I don't remember, but. Was saying that it could, that in the hands of one man, one person with a weak mind, that they would instantly push the whole universe away.
Yep.
So that there is some serious danger in having that kind of power all in one person.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is pretty badass, man.
Mm-hmm. No. Now, for the last bit here, the reason we decided on these storylines. Well.
Yes. Yeah.
Fate Marvel's Phase 3.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't not be hyped for, you know, Infinity War.
It's Thanos on the big screen. And
I think we all saw that scene in, which movie was it in, where he, you know, goes, he's getting the gauntlet and he says, if you want something done right.
That was Guardians.
Guardians.
Avengers 2.
Avengers 2, yeah.
Avengers 2, yeah.
And he goes, I guess I'll do it myself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll have to do it myself.
I mean, you think about it. There is real, you know, that obviously this storyline is just so epic and incredible. This is why they made it the anchor of the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And he's the big bad, you know? And mm-hmm. like, you introduce characters like Ultron and shit. Where do you go from there? Without being able to use Galactus, where do you go?
Right.
You got to go to Thanos.
Right. Yep. And I love that line in Guardians of the Galaxy. This just so encompasses Thanos. You know, he Ronan shows up and he's like, you know, I only ask that you take this seriously. And he says, Thanos turns around and says, you know, the only thing I don't take seriously, boy, is you. Your politics bore me, and your demeanor is that of a pouty child. And he basically tells him, you know, you better go and get me the gem. And if you come back empty-handed, I'm going to paint the Starways with your blood. that was fucking badass. Oh, yeah. And, I mean, just these little snippets of the character, you know. Like when he showed up at the end of the Avengers and, you know, made a reference to his infatuation with death. That was fucking awesome.
To face the Avengers is the court death itself.
Yeah.
Now, here's the question I gotta ask. Mm-hmm. Knowing what we do know about it, which is very little,
right?
What is one thing you hope to see?
I hope to see that Cap Thanos face off. I hope they have that. You know,
what I hope is that comes the point where, because he was alluded to slightly that Cap could possibly lift Thor's hammer. That's going to be the moment that he does it in the cinematic universe.
Against
Thanos.
Right.
That would be amazing.
But honestly,
sorry, go ahead.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. All I was going to say really quickly was that, you know, there's still a lot of unknown factors, you know, like, are we going to have Adam Warlock? Are we going to have,
I think with
there's just
certain
a lot of
things,
questions as to what we're going to have.
You know? I think we're going to see a lead up to that.
Right.
Like, I think Mixtape, you know, two Guardians, you know.
Right.
Guardians and, 2 is going to have some hints, you know. And
I'm hoping that Doctor Strange does too, in some fashion.
Wait, do you think the odds are that they're going to pull a swerve on us, and Peter Quill's dad's going to be named Adam Warlock?
It would be a good way to tie it in.
Played by Kurt Russell.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah. Because also,
I don't know. Could you see Kurt Russell as Adam Warlock?
You know, now that you look at him.
Sure.
Yeah, I could actually.
Yeah,
I'm calling it. Kurt Russell is going to be Adam Warlock.
He needs his 80s hair for sure.
Right,
twisting
right.
Hair, but yeah.
Yes, he does. I'm
or Big Trouble.
The exact same thing, Jamie. The big trouble in Little China hair. Yeah.
Or the Escape from New York hair without the eye patch.
basically, every movie he was in the 80s.
Basically, Kurt Russell in the
80s. Yeah, I was going to say, Kurt Russell in 80s hair.
The thing is like, if rumors are holding true, you know, Guardians won't be the only cosmic movie coming, because the third Thor movie is going to be cosmic.
Yes, so, Inhumans is going to be cosmic.
Oh, yeah, and Inhumans will be cosmic.
Now,
so.
And they're also kind of hinting at not just the mysticism in Doctor Strange, but kind of dealing with different realms and shit, you know, which they could use to play in that you know.
And see, actually,
Dormammu, please.
Now that I think about it, I think Inhumans might be the perfect opportunity for Adam Warlock.
Check this
because,
out, dude.
Wait, let me finish.
Because
Adam Warlock was always, when he was known only as him, he was the, quote, perfect being.
Right.
And I could see something, especially if they have like a Maximus character in Inhumans.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, hey, check this out, though. They already did kind of introduce the Celestials in a way. In Ant-Man, there's a brief glimpse of Eternity. So
is it one of those where he shrinks so far he?
Yeah. You know, as he's shrinking down at the end, you can catch a glimpse of Eternity. So.
That's cool.
You know, yeah, so, you know, they're kind of throwing those. Whether that was just a nifty little Easter egg or meant to tie into something greater, who knows? Yeah.
Interestingly enough, there was supposed to be a scene in Avengers 2. It was cut. I don't know if they actually filmed it or not, where there was going to be Thor, because there's a whole subline with Thor that they pretty much condensed into like one scene where he basically says, "I saw a vision." That vision was supposed to be of the Infinity Gauntlet, and it was supposed to tie into Loki somehow.
Right.
I'm thinking Loki is going to take Mephisto's place.
Yeah.
That's definitely a possibility.
Because he's established as a trickster.
Loki's really the only one who could fill that role. There's no Mephisto.
And of course, most people will say, "More Tom Hiddleston, yes, please."
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Any excuse for more Hiddleston.
Yeah.
Skippy.
He's great Loki, just a great actor too. I mean, I loved him
from Crimson Peak.
Dude, he actually, I watched him on a clip when he was on Sesame Street, dude. And even that he made charming. He like his little thing on Sesame Street. So now I'm all for it. And I've been jonesing for some more Loki for a while now. So if it turns out he plays the Mephisto role, which is very likely if what Ragnarok is supposed to be, you know, if what I've been hearing about it is true, then he could very easily slide into that role.
But I really like the fact that from what we're hearing about Ragnarok, it's not going to be, quote, Ragnarok as we know it from, you know, that it's going to be a cosmic level thing and not really a, you know, it's the death of Asgard as in usual, you know, continuities, you know, so.
All right. Or Norse mythology. Back where we were, Jamie, what's the one thing you want to see most in Infinity War?
I just want to see people get kicking the shit out of each other. That would be great. Yeah, I want to see them clam as many of these established heroes in there with as many new heroes as they have, and just let them all go in a huge
and don't be afraid
slobber
to kill
knocker.
Don't be afraid to kill people. Have Thanos come full bore. Don't
just like snap Iron Man's neck or some shit.
Yeah, don't pussyfoot around. That's what I want to see.
All right, what about you, Wayne?
I would like to see Thanos snap Iron Man's neck.
I think you're going to see that.
That was something somebody talked about, like in one of the commentary I read. Because we all know that after this, you know, the next, you know, Captain America Civil War, people are going to think Tony Stark's a dick.
Yeah.
Right.
So what's the best way to undick him is to, like, he makes the ultimate sacrifice.
Yep.
Probably fails at it, but gets killed by Thanos. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, of course, you know, if Marvel cinematic, you know, plays anyway like Marvel regular, doesn't mean it's permanent. But anyway,
right.
As far as what I would like to see, from Infinity War, from the movie itself, I want to see, you know, like, you know, kind of like Jamie said, you just knock down, drag out, you know, everything's getting booshed, you know.
Don't neuter Thanos.
I want it to be like on the moon, and, you know, and shit like that. I don't want it to be on Earth. I want it to, like, you know, it's like,
That would have to be, have it in space somewhere.
Yeah, have it in space. I want it to be, this is bigger than Earth.
Yes.
Things like that.
I want it to be bigger than the final fight of Return of the Jedi.
Now for my ultimate fanboy thing I want Marvel to go ahead and purchase back the rights to Fantastic Four and X-Men and stuff and put those in the movie. But
I would see that as well.
And before we call it a night, the one thing I want to see is one specific panel. Thanos slightly hunched over, you know, doing the come here finger and saying, "Come and get me."
Yeah.
Just that one iconic panel.
Yep.
Yeah. That would be amazing.
Oh, all right, well, folks, see that. I think this has been a very successful first episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've definitely enjoyed myself.
Well, this has been Back Issues. I'm Jason. I'm here with Wayne, Daryl, and Jamie. Yep. Thank you for listening, and hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Join us next time.
All right.